You're listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Are you tired of endless reviews around films? Do you want to rediscover the joy of just getting lost in a movie? Then this podcast is for you. Welcome to Filmy Fiesta. I'm your host, Manoj Kumar R. Let's fall in love with cinema again.
The Indian film industry, with its over 100-year history, is undergoing a period of rapid change unlike anything it's seen before. The rise of streaming platforms and their growing popularity among audiences are adding to the ever-evolving challenges of filmmaking. The film industry seems to be grappling with how to deal with these modern challenges, including the changing preferences of moviegoers. With pre-theatrical revenues drying up and theatrical success becoming increasingly difficult to achieve, filmmakers are struggling to find solutions. In this episode, we will be joined by producer Dhananjayan to discuss the challenges of making movies in this current climate of rising production costs and declining revenue streams. Dhananjayan is a highly accomplished individual. He runs his own production company, Infinity Film Ventures, has written 4 books on cinema, and is a 2-time National Award winner. He is also the founder of the BAFTA Film Institute. Currently, he serves as the CEO of the leading production house, Studio Green. Additionally, Dhananjayan is currently focused on mapping out promotional strategies for their upcoming big-budget films, Tangalan and Kanguva. Thank you, sir. I know you're busy and thank you for taking time out and joining me. Welcome to Filmy Fiesta. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, the film industry is changing. As we know, the Indian film industry is changing. Is it terrifying or you are excited to see what it's going to be like?
No, it is terrifying. Actually, the way the changes are happening, it's very, very challenging now. Across the country, every language industry is going through huge challenges. Okay, it's not an easy thing at all. Today, what's happening is, like, you know, both satellite channels and digital platforms are being very selective about buying the films. They want films to perform in the theater, then only they will like to buy the rights. Earlier, like for 2 years, it has been a honeymoon period for all the producers. 2022 and 23 were honeymoon periods where you could sell your satellite digital rights when you launch a project or when, you know, you release a teaser or trailer. So in the process, you know, what you could do is, like, you could actually de-risk the film completely. De-risk means, you know, you are able to recover 60 to 80% of the cost. So when you're releasing the film, you're not really unduly worried about theatrical collection, you know. Okay, theatrical, you are expecting definitely good amount, but it's not that, you know, you are 100% dependent on it. Okay, but today, everything is, you know, changed dramatically. How dramatically means, you know, today, OTT platform is saying that earlier, there was a scenario of a premiere of films were happening. Now today, there is no premiere of films possible. Okay, that is OTT premiere I'm talking about. Films have to come in theater. And after theater performance only, I'll buy. Or if the performances, you know, reviews are good or whatever it is, like, you know, their whole model has changed in OTT. Satellite channels are saying that, you know, because OTT have grown dramatically, we don't have that kind of TRP coming in for films.
Okay.
So we like to be very selective about which film we buy for satellite, right? It's not that they're not buying. They're very, very selective. So now in the process, what happens is, like, you know, last year, just for information, how scary it will be for you. 258 films released in Tamil. Only 55 films are bought for satellite.
Oh.
203 films satellite nobody bought. No channel bought it. OTT platform, out of 258, you know, only 155 films were taken in OTT platform. Out of it, only 53 were bought for amount. Balance 100 films are revenue share.
Okay.
Revenue share means I'm talking about whether Amazon or whatever it is. They took it, like, you know, if the film is watched, they'll pay the money. So now look at it. The uncertainty is so high, so dramatic. So it is terrifying. Therefore, the question is very terrifying because there is no guarantee of revenue at all. And theatrically, what is happening today in theatrical audience, they're very selective. OTT platforms are selectively buying. Theatrical audience also selectively watching. If there is a good cinema, I'm talking about not small budget film, very big budget film, very big star cast is there, big film, big theatrical experience, they like to come to the theater. Rest of the film, they say that when is it coming in OTT? Let me watch it in OTT. So These are the two dramatic things which have taken place, and it's very, very scary.
So you're saying like the business of cinema is shrinking, drastically shrinking?
No, not shrinking. It's becoming challenging. I can't say shrinking. For films like, you know, for example, Aranmanai 4 has collected the biggest ever box office collection, and it did very good business in satellite digital, Hindi dubbing and all. So you can't call it shrinking. For films which really work in every way, it is exponentially, there is revenue opportunity. There is no middle path.
Okay. Either it's very good or extremely bad.
Extremely bad. See, there is a what we have been looking for always in the industry is like middle path, right? Like, okay, at least some amount of it should come, some reasonable amount to come, no? Like if you release a film, earlier scenario was like when you release a film, like you would expect some amount to come in the theater. Today, most of the film, I'm talking about small films and medium films, they don't even recover the print and publicity cost.
Okay.
You know, because audience are not willing to come to the theater, except for a few films. Most of the other film audience have just not accepted it. They are not willing to come to the theater. Now, how do you then, you know, I've been talking a lot of interviews saying that, you know, audience should come and encourage small budget film, which are good cinema. I'm not talking about average or bad cinema. It's a good cinema. You should come and watch in the theater. But they're all willing to wait for this film to come in OTT.
But also talking about it, how do you identify which film works and which film doesn't work? Because I don't think like you can say it no longer. Aranmanai 4, if I'm not wrong, was rejected by every distributor. They were not ready to pay the price the producers were asking for. And Sundar C went directly distributor and it becomes such a huge hit. So how do you explain this? How do you identify it?
No, it was not rejected. Everybody was excited about, especially the second half and all, everybody is excited. They were thinking that the price quoted by him is very high. The reason was, see, Aranmanai 3, you know, collected around 12 to 13 crore share. So they were expecting, you know, you will be asking 10 to 12 crores in the current market scenario when it is bad. He was asking around 15 to 20 crores. So see, it's a price point difference. It's not rejected.
Okay.
Everybody wanted the film. They are all saying that, you know, because of, you know, sequel 3 didn't work so big. They thought this will also not work so big. So all their predictions have gone wrong. all the distributors who watched it, you know, in fact, it collected double than what you wanted actually. See, Sundar Cesar was very open to give it at 15 or something, 17. But then, you know, nobody came forward. Now, finally, he took the bet. He said, no, let me release the film and see. And the film ended up collecting 28 to 30 crores share in Tamil Nadu theatre. So now that risk he has taken it because, you know, he was the producer of the film along with Arun Kumar of ACS. And he tightly produced the film. So he could take the risk. Not every producer can take the risk, no?
And talking about it, so now there is a huge debate going on in Bollywood about the rising production costs because more than production, they are spending too much on, you know, catering to the whims and fancies of the entourage of the big stars. So is this issue existing in South Indian film industry?
Absolutely. No, this is a discussion not in Bollywood. We are talking as an Indian film industry. In fact, we are all part of it. All associations, you know, right from Tamil Film Active Producer Association, Telugu Producers Guild, Active Producers Guild, Telugu Cinema Film Chamber of Commerce, Malayalam cinema and Hindi cinema, all of us are talking about not just the salary. We are talking about entourage, you know, the cost of right from, you know, assistants, makeup, manager, you know, gym boys to, you know, what do you call it, like bodyguards to, we are talking about, you know, trainers to everything. These costs are becoming exorbitant. Okay. Like today we are talking about, for a popular actor, paying 2-3 lakhs as an entourage cost is not acceptable at all. If they act, you know, for 30 days, it's like, you know, you end up spending a crore. You can't afford to give that, you know, kind of additional cost. So what we are all talking among ourselves, you know, how to go about dealing with this is still not, nothing has been decided. We discussed, you know, as a team, you know, with all the actors association, basically the agencies who are dealing with actors and all. We took up this entire issue. Today, the market is very uncertain. And we can't be paying so much money for the assistants and all the team, you know, of the actors. What we say is we are paying the salary and we can at best pay as per Pepsi. In the sense like worker union, whatever they say, you have to pay for this various categories. That we can pay. For example, a gym boy, you know, here when you appoint a gym boy here, you know, it's around 1,500 rupees.
Okay.
That we can pay. We can't pay beyond that, right? If there is a requirement. You can't be saying you fix a remuneration for a gym boy.
Yeah.
Similarly, for a makeup, you know, we have a Pepsi rule, how much you can pay per day. That we can pay. So what we are talking about is, if it is Pepsi basis, you know, you're charging. Pepsi means, you know, for South, for Tamil. Telugu, there is a similarly worker association is there. Hindi, there is a worker association is there. Whatever association fixes a salary, that we can give it. But we can't pay it in bulk the way the actors ask about. They say that, no, all my assistants pay 1 lakh, 2 lakh, 3 lakh, like this. They don't say the breakup. They say, no, this is 50,000, this is 50,000, total 2 lakh up there.
Okay.
Now, 2 lakh, 3 lakh and all, we can't afford to pay is a stand taken by all the producers across the country.
Okay.
It's not Bollywood. Since it came, articles came in Bollywood, you're thinking in Bollywood, but in, across the country, the same scenario is existing. Okay. The level may vary. Hindi, people are asking for 3 to 4 lakhs or 5 lakhs per day. Here, people are asking for 1 lakh, you know, 75,000 to 2 lakh. So, the impact is big. For a regional cinema, an actor asking for, you know, 1 lakh per day or 2 lakh per day is an additional cost.
Yeah.
Simply not acceptable, right?
Yes.
So, we are taking it up. We are saying that, you know, that should be part of your salary.
Okay.
That should not be coming on the producer.
Yeah, because already the stars are being paid above the market price. To start with, is this also Malayalam film industry also is also facing this problem?
No, every industry, they're all talking the same uniformly. They're talking about the exorbitant cost increase that has taken place among the artists and technicians. Everybody's asking huge salaries. And secondly, they're all asking, you know, a lot of money to be paid upfront.
Okay.
That is a big issue. Upfront means, you know, they're asking for pay me 25% or 50% in signing amount.
Okay.
Now, all this puts huge burden on the producer. In the sense, like, producer has to borrow the money, pay that advance. Yes, if an artist is asking, you know, suppose he's taking 10 crore, he's asking for 1 crore salary, as an advance is okay. But if he's asking 4 crore, 5 crore as an advance, you have to borrow the money so much, you know, with the interest you have to pay for it. Yeah. And when the shooting will start, you don't know, right? So, but you will be asking for signing amount, give me 50%. Then what do you do with that?
But
so you have to borrow.
How does it trickle down, sir? If, for example, now it puts pressure on the producer. And how does the producer handle? By cutting the salaries off?
No, it's not cutting. There is no other option. He keeps borrowing more. You know, it becomes unviable. The whole project becomes unviable at the starting point itself.
What about other star cast, other technicians? Do they get salary?
Everyone, you know, gets paid. Everyone gets paid. Everybody keeps demanding bigger salary as a signing amount. So we are talking among ourselves, like, how do you bring in some rationality in it? We are talking about, you know, see, we can't change the way the industry works, but can you bring in some system, some rationality in the payments, what we make? So right from payment to all the assistance, entourage cost, to everything we are talking, let's see where it goes. You know, all the discussions have just begun.
But eventually, it is the producer who bears the brunt, not the writers,
Absolutely. And that too, who takes burden of it? Finally, when the film is made, the risk is entirely on the producer, right?
In terms of like, are screenwriters getting paid well in Tamil cinema?
No. It's individually, if you start talking about it, whether new directors are paid well or screenwriters are paid well, I'll always say that, you know, it is all based on the what kind of stories, what kind of, you know, potential of the story, all this are there. See, just imagine a guy who starts in the beginning, you'll be paid only 5 lakh salary, which is for story, screenplay, dialogue, direction. If he gives a hit, next film, you know, you'll be paid 50 lakhs. In which job you'll get like that? Okay. And then in the second film, he gives a hit, you'll be paid 5 crores for the third film.
Yeah.
And fourth film, if the third film also becomes a hit, fourth film will be 15 crores.
Yeah.
Then he might end up getting even 50 crores.
Mm-hmm.
In your career and my career, we don't get that way, right? So do you get, you know, 10 terms, you know, salary in after one film?
No.
Like, you achieve something very good. Suppose, you know, you've done a great work.
No.
Nobody pays you 10 times. They'll pay you 20% increase, right? So when they are all getting exponentially that kind of payment, they're not worried about when they start their career, what kind of money they get it, whether for story or for making a film. All of them, you know, look at it as an investment.
Yeah.
Somebody is taking a risk on me. A producer is taking a risk on me by producing this film. So for that, my getting only 5 lakhs is okay.
No.
Or 2 lakhs is okay. Because my dream is making it a reality on theater, on screen. So they're all excited about that particular part. I want to come as establish myself as a director. Now, if they achieve that particular thing, second film itself, they'll end up getting 10 times or 20 times.
Yeah.
So they don't care about that 5 lakhs.
So why am I asking is, recently S.R. Prabhu tweeted saying the non-theatrical revenue ended. The era of non-theatrical revenue ended. So, and he also said like Malayalam film industry has found a way to rescue itself from this and work and be self-sustained. So I was just asking if Malayalam film industry is secure in terms of how it pays it technicians or how it the revenue profit sharing system with the stars. So I was just curious to know how...
No, he didn't say from that particular angle. He talked about Malayalam film industry found a way from theaters. All the films are working in the sense like, you know, in the last 5-6 months, what happened in Malayalam cinemas, at least 10 films have worked wonders. All of them ended up collecting more than 1,000 crore for Malayalam cinema. Malayalam cinema never achieved more than 1,000 crore ever in a year.
Yeah.
Whereas in 5.5 months, 6 months, you know, itself 6,000 crore box office collection clearly shows Malayalam cinema found a way. Like, you know, give damn good content. Audience will watch in the theater and they'll give the collections. So what he's saying is like, you know, every actor has given a big hit, whether it is, you know, Fahad Fasil or Mamuka, or if you take it, you know, Prithviraj with Aadu Jeevitham, or new starcast, you know, Manjimal Boys, or new starcast Premlu, like all of them, you know, whether it's new or established one, they all gave a hit. That means what? They found a formula of giving the theatrical experience where people will come and watch the film and give the box office collection, which is like breakthrough for the industry continuously. We have not got that breakthrough in Tamil. And don't forget it, even Malayalam cinema could not sell the satellite digital rights.
Yeah.
Whether Varshangal Vishesham or Manjimal Boys or Premalu or Aadu Jeevitham, okay, they didn't get sold before release.
Okay.
They were all sold post-release. Post-release, the platforms came forward because there is a lot of talk around the film. Good appreciation, they came forward and picked up the film.
Okay.
Now, that means what? The producer took a risk to release these films. And he didn't take the risk, you know, you not have got the film like. So the producer is, suppose, what if the film didn't work?
Yeah.
What would happen to the producer? You have been soup, right? There are films that are made in 80 crores, 90 crores. For example, Aadu Jeevitham, they didn't sell it all satellite digitally. And yet they released the film. Thank God that, you know, the film ended up doing blockbuster collections.
Yeah.
But just imagine, you know, suppose the film, you know, very slow, 3 hours film, will not work and all. What would happen to the producers, you know, invested 80 crores? So I'm talking about finally everything boiled down to the risk should be on the producer.
Producer, okay.
So Malayalam cinema also did the same thing.
Mm.
So what he said is, whereas Tamil cinema is not able to find that particular breakthrough of theatrical revenues, whereas Malayalam cinema found in this scenario where OTT platform satellites are not buying, they found a way out through theatrical revenue. That's what he said.
Okay. But also, do you think it is a season, or you think that they have found, they are in the form that it will continue for an extended years, or it's just a phase?
See, cinema has always went through an evolution. Okay. It's never a permanent kind of stuff. Okay. Every, you know, year you'll see multiple changes. 2023, we are all going gaga about many hits. Tamil cinema is growing exponentially. Telugu cinema is growing exponentially. We are talking. Suddenly 2024 is sitting in June and we are really lost words. What the hell is going on? And there is no film working in theater. It's like 5.5 months and we are struggling with, we are looking for a biggest hit. In the 6 months, you know, we have not got a biggest hit. Okay, Aranmani is collected, but you know, that is not enough, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That is not, one film is not enough for 6 months. Thankfully, you know, Maharaja is getting a lot of reviews, critically acclaimed. Hopefully, you know, that gets a box office collection, what we are looking for the first 6 months. So I'm talking about, end of the day, it is all about every month, you know, one film, or once in a while, you know, one film, no, not possible. At least once in 2 weeks, one film to be hit. Then only the industry will sustain, theaters will sustain. Audience will keep coming to the theater. If rarely one film becomes hit, no, they'll just not bother. They'll wait for the rare film to come. So that is the biggest fear we have about the industry. See, the industry today, we are all worried about how long this will last, this particular scenario of audience, you know, choosing and coming to watch a film in theater. So we're all waiting how long this will last. And earlier this problem gets closed, better for the industry, especially Tamil cinema.
Especially when you bring it up, I mean, since the COVID, every year has been one industry has managed to shine through, right? 2001, I think it's KGF, and then RRR, then Tamil, Leo, Jailer, and now it's Malayalam cinema. 2024, it's Malayalam cinema.
Malayalam cinema.
It's just like, it the power is like...
Cycle.
Yeah, cycle.
No, RRR and KGF came in the same year.
No.
Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
That is 2022. 2023 and 2022, we also got Vikram. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In Tamil, we had Vikram, and in Telugu, we had RRR, and we had KGF in Kannada. So all three languages were, Gango.
Mm.
2023, Tamil cinema was doing great. Mm. Everybody was looking at it. Oh my God, there is Leo has done so big, and there is Jailer has done so big.
Mm.
Two 600 crore collection films, and no other industry delivered like that. Not people are talking.
Mm.
In 2024, we are sitting and watching. Whereas Malayalam cinema in 2023 and 22, they didn't get such big hits.
Yeah,
they were like wondering why Tamil people are watching films and giving industry hits. Why industry hits are not happening in Malayalam cinema?
Uh-huh.
Now today, they are doing continuously industry hits, whereas Tamil cinema is looking for one big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about industry hit.
It was a dull. I think the coming months is going to be exciting, right? With Indian 2, Maharaja.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Very exciting. In fact, the June 14th, we have Maharaja. Then, box office is looking for Kalki because it got Kamal sir, it got Amitabh Bachchan, Shabazz and all, and Deepika Padukone. It looks very huge.
Mm.
Every family might watch it. Then there is a film immediately coming is Indian 2, which is like everyone is waiting for.
Mm.
Shankar sir and Kamal Haasan sir, definitely they would have done some magic. Everybody's waiting for. Then comes, Royan is coming 26th. And then, comes August 15th, today people are talking about Pushpa 2 is getting postponed. But then Tanglan has to come in.
Mm.
So Tanglan is going to come in and a lot of other medium films are coming in.
Mm.
So September, the moment you come in, Goat comes in, right?
Yeah.
In October, already 10th, they confirmed for Vettain. And at Diwali, people are talking about definitely, Kangua should come.
Mm.
And September 27th, I forgot to talk about Amaran to come,
the
Sivakarthikeyan film. So it's a chock-a-block. A lot of big films are coming. We are very confident, that industry will completely revive in the next 6 months and it'll compensate for the biggest losses incurred in the first 6 months.
Okay. And also talking about the film release updates and all, you are under a lot of pressure. Even 2 days back, you tweeted saying like, just take a chill pill, don't keep putting low. What is it like to be under such pressure? Do you enjoy it or is it that does it bother you?
It's not bothers me. It's just that, when the people go impatient.
No.
Okay. See, a producer who has invested hundreds of crores, for example, in this case, Mr. Jnanavel Raja, he knows better when to release this film, right? I can suggest, this date is good. A lot of other people who are working with him will suggest.
Mm.
So let's catch up this date. Let's come on July. Now look at it. Had we pushed it, announced the release date, would have been trouble. Now suddenly Pushpa is vacating. It's good now. We waited, right? Suppose, he decides. He has not decided about August 15th.
Mm.
Suppose he decides that, this is the date, August 15th, if he says, that'll be a fantastic date for the film, right? So
British
the waiting has worked.
Yeah.
The waiting has worked, right? Sometime waiting has worked.
Mm.
So why I'm saying is it is the producer's call.
Mm.
Because end of the day, the risk is taken by him, not by you, me, or the people who are tweeting and all.
Mm.
I'm not taking the risk. I'm only as a CEO, I'm supporting him and working for promotion and release of the film. Now, end of the day, the decision, the buck stops there. The real buck. I'm not talking about the blame. I'm talking about the real buck. The amount, stops at Mr. Jnanavel Raja. I'm just giving the example there. Saying that whether it's Tanglan or Kangua, the problem is a lot of fans say, lock the date, announce it, lock the date, announce it. Are a boss, the producer has to decide. So many factors are there.
Mm.
One is, whether satellite deals are closed, whether Hindi dubbing deals are closed, then theatrical rights are closed overseas, India, what kind of deals are closed, which date is suitable for them.
Mm.
Telugu, what kind of price they're willing to pay. Which date you come, they'll pay a price.
Yeah.
Which date you come, they don't. They will not pay a price.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to evaluate a lot of things.
Mm.
The same way in Hindi.
Mm.
If you are coming, clashing with Salman Khan, who is going to buy your film in Hindi?
Yeah.
Right? I'm just saying as an example.
Yeah.
Or you come with the biggest film with a lot of expectation in Hindi, you come against it, nobody is going to buy your film.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Nobody is going to consider your film.
Mm.
So what I said is, a date is something, how Jnanavel Raja sir will do is, you'll write, Tamil film, which are the film coming that date.
Mm.
Telugu film, which are the film coming that date. Hindi film coming which date. And you look at all the films, whether it is the date which is workable for us, our date, if you come that particular date. Or what is the other option? Is there any multiple days of holidays are there? Is there any weekend holiday there? Whatever it is like, permutation combination, something he has to work it out. So it can't be like, because fans are asking, you can announce a date.
Yeah.
Then what the same fans will come back and say, you're an idiot, you release on the wrong date and screw the film.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the whole thing is, while we respect and appreciate, you know, the fans' enthusiasm, because, you know, see, without fans, no film is going to succeed. Yeah.
Right.
Fans are the one who bring the opening for the film. Fans are the one who support the film in all the trending of the film and the reach of the film and all. They are the one who are supporting. So we are not anywhere, you know, saying that, you know, they are not contributing. They are biggest contributor for a film side. Both the films are in biggest side because of their contribution.
Mm.
But I'm saying that's where you have to stop.
Mm.
And if you go beyond that and start dictating, you know, in tweets, every tweet you start criticizing and trolling and dictating terms, saying that, no, this date you announce it. You cannot stop it now. You better announce it now.
Mm.
If you say, you know, you're putting continuously tagging me and tagging everyone, you know, who are working in the company, you know, it disturbs us. You know, are we not interested? Are we not interested to release a film? Are you not going to be serious about releasing a film? We actually have a complete checklist for the entire release. What are the plans? Where all we are going to do promotions and everything, we fixed it. Just that we need to be clear about which date will work for the producer who has invested the money and how it is going to work for him in other languages. And whether he has completed a lot of other businesses to release the film.
Okay. But when the wait is so long, what kind of reactions you get from, like, say, Chian Vikram or like Paranjit? How they work?
Ranjit sir is very understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He knows pretty well that, you know, he's not under that pressure at all.
Mm-hmm.
He will only say, sir, it's a producer's call. He has invested hundreds of crores. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it is a decision of the producer. Nobody can decide. Even I cannot decide this date you have to come.
Mm-hmm.
So he is very cool about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not somebody who's putting pressure, calling up, saying, please, sir, someone release my film. I'm waiting for releasing the film. No.
Mm-hmm.
Vikram says the same way. He is very understanding of the producer.
Mm-hmm.
All that his manager will keep asking, you know, only one thing.
Yeah.
Sir, give me 4 weeks' time for the promotion. Like, you know, if you are starting a promotion, assume that in July.
Mm-hmm.
Inform me 4 weeks before.
Yeah.
Because he has shoots, right?
Uh-huh.
So he has to postpone the shoot. He has to reschedule it.
Mm.
So he'll say that, suppose you are coming in August 15th.
Mm.
Then July 15th onwards, you'll start the promotion, right?
Mm.
Then you have to inform now.
Mm.
So that from July 15th, he keeps himself free.
Okay.
Vikram sir, he keeps himself free because that much of commitment is there from Vikram sir.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all committed to the promotion. They're all wanting to support the film. They're all wanting to be part of it. All that they'll say is like, you know, sir, I'm not putting any pressure on you. Announce a date. Keep in mind, you need to give me at least a month notice so that I prepare for the promotion.
Okay.
So that's all. There is no other pressure from them on, you know, this date you have to come or this date you cannot postpone it. Better come on this date. That kind of pressure they'll never put.
Okay.
They'll only say, please give us time so that we get prepared for the interviews and the promotion and everything.
Okay. So now the Kanguva is said to be the most expensive film in Surya sir's career. Is it the same with Thangalan? Is it Chian sir's most expensive film?
100%. 100%. It's the biggest expensive film for Vikram sir's career.
Mm.
Right from, you know, making onwards and the Ranjit sir's, you know, production values to everyone. There are a lot of salaries, a lot of expenses involved, set works involved.
Mm.
Obviously, this is the most expensive film in Vikram sir's career.
Mm.
And the same is the case with Surya sir's career.
So what was Paranji sir's pitch? How did he pitch this story? You know, what vision he had for this?
He had the vision because, you know, see, KG worked very beautifully, right?
Mm.
Everybody is excited about, you know, getting to know about what is the background to this KGF.
Mm-hmm.
That is Kolar gold mine.
Mm.
What kind of, you know, background was there?
Mm.
Was it really the way it is portrayed in KGF 1 and KGF 2 or something else?
Mm.
So he went back to the story. He got a new story that, you know, it's not the way it is portrayed, like, you know, all big industrial complexes and, you know, all dark frames, not like that.
Mm.
So it was a KG was a village, right? Kolar was a village hundreds of years ago. It was a village.
Mm.
So now in a village, how they went about finding that gold?
Mm.
Who found out?
Mm.
How they went about doing it? So he wanted to capture that particular era. He wanted to capture those characters. He wanted to capture them, you know, what do you call it? Blood, flesh and emotion. So that's all the story. So it's a very different story.
So the KGF sparked the story to prompted him to go and find out and make
This was something like he wanted to do long back.
Okay.
He was like working on the script for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was very curious about, you know, that particular KGF backdrop and, you know, how Tamilians were really worked out on, you know, building up the Kola Thangavai. So basically he was thinking about it.
Mm.
Incidentally, you know, KGF also came in.
Mm.
So he thought, you know, it's a time to tell this. It's like, when you see a film, you decide that this is a time to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it came.
And to talk about the first time when Kanguva motion poster came out, it was completely, I felt like it was not done by director Shiva. This was completely, you don't associate Shiva's filmography with such a film. So how did that happen?
It was very clearly a dream project for Shiva, sir. He was working on for quite some time.
Mm.
It was not overnight, that the introduction video came in and all. It was like he has been working for quite some time to do this film.
Oh.
So he was waiting for a breakthrough film, a landmark film.
Mm.
Okay, so obviously, when he pitched the script, with Jnanavel sir, he was very excited because Surya sir liked the script.
Mm.
He was only worried about this kind of budget. How do you manage it?
Mm.
Okay, the budget is very big. So Jnanavel sir was very clear, I'm willing to take the bet. I'm willing to take the risk. Because the project has to be mounted big. It needed bigger artist.
Mm.
Needed a bigger antagonist, bigger heroine. So all kind of things, were like completely, Jnanavel sir said, go ahead and do it. Because I want to do the biggest ever budget film for Surya. And I want to do the biggest ever film in Tamil cinema in terms of budget making and all. Not just salaries, okay? It's not the bigger budget because of salaries and all. It's bigger budget because of the making of the film.
Production.
A lot of production values are there. So now, Shiva sir, all that he wanted was no compromise in the production values. So Jnanavel sir gave that. Okay, that particular approval he gave. So the production happened. Today it's all completed. In the post-production is on. CG work is on. And then, we are waiting for all the animation and everything to be completed. And then, 3D to be completed and we'll release.
And he went on to say that this is the answer, Tamil cinema's answer to Bahubali 2 on KGF.
Where did he say that? I didn't hear that.
He said it on record. This is Tamil cinema. Okay.
That is the confidence he has in the film.
Mm.
He's not somebody, who normally talks, boasting about his film. He normally doesn't talk.
Mm.
In fact, he'll always tell me that, sir, let the film talk.
Mm.
Because he comes from Ajit sir school, right? Ajit sir always says very clearly, film should talk, not the people, who are acting or directing. So, Shiva sir.
Jnanavel sir. Jnanavel sir, did not Shiva sir. Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. Shiva sir would not have said that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you said Shiva sir said that. No, I was confused.
That's what
okay. See, Jnanavel sir is very, very confident about the film. It's the biggest ever film and all.
Mm.
So I was wondering, where did Shiva sir said that? Maybe you heard it, right?
Confused, yeah.
Yeah. Because Shiva sir is very clear. He doesn't want to talk too much about the film.
Mm.
He only says, again and again, he will tell me whenever I tell him to, say in an interview, he will say that, no, sir, let our film talk. So he's very humble about whatever he made it. But Jnanavel sir is because he's watching the progress of the film continuous basis, right? He's not watching once in a while. He's watching regularly whatever update is coming.
Yeah,
the videos, the moment one reel is locked, immediately Jnanavel sir is watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very excited about the film. That's why all this language what he used about the film, very confident language what he used it, because he watched the film.
And have you seen Kanguva? Hmm? Have you watched the full film?
I didn't watch full film because nobody watched it. It is Shiva sir only first half edited. He shown us some 40 minutes of the film. We all watched it, 40 minutes. We were completely awestruck by that the grandness of the film. And three songs and the making.
Mm.
And the whole, the creativity. How he went about creating all these people, the makeup and the thousands of actors.
Mm.
The whole grandeur of the film. It is a cinematic experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it simply. Now, I was wondering, I asked him so many things, when after watching that, I asked him, Shiva sir, where this cinematic experience idea came in, how did you create these nuances, small things. No, sir, I've been thinking about it for quite some time. This is my film where I can make use of all this thing.
Okay.
I'm always got into making, typical family relationship films,
mm-hmm.
whether Vishwasam, Annate, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to do a grand film, which is getting back to the history and getting back to the roots, our roots, and then bringing the history back and
mm-hmm.
bringing it a link to the contemporary world and doing something magic out of it. That's how it is.
So did you see Tangalan?
Tanglan, I didn't watch it. Only Jnanavel sir watched it.
Uh-huh.
And he was very confident about the film. And he told me because there is a lot of CG work is there.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want us to see without the CG work.
Mm-mm-mm.
He said, no, let the CG work complete, then we'll watch it. So we're all waiting with excitement to watch the film.
You also have plans about, taking it and releasing it in different languages, worldwide. So how is that process going?
That's Kanguva. That's Kanguva, not Tanglan. Tanglan is releasing only the four languages.
Uh-huh.
South four languages and then, in Hindi, that's all.
Mm.
Whereas, Gangoa is going to come in 10 languages. Uh-huh. Gangoa is going to be 10 languages in India and in through OTT in multiple languages. That's how the plan.
Okay, okay. And before you go, I have a few more questions. You know, so as a producer, how do you pick your projects?
Personally, if you ask me, you know, projects, you know, find you.
Mm.
It's not you find the projects, okay? Because what happens is a lot of people keep approaching you.
Mm.
Okay. But then which project comes to your hand, you don't know. Mm. For example, today, let me tell you, Maharaja is a project we wanted to do badly. Mm.
Studio Agree.
4 years back. Yeah, no, in my own company.
Okay.
In Infinity Film Ventures. Maharaja's script was pitched by Nithilan to us. Okay. Mm. And with Vijay Antony, we want to do the film.
Mm.
Vijay Antony was very keen to do the film.
Mm-mm.
Okay. And in fact, we wanted to prioritize the film.
Okay.
We are doing with Vijay Antony 3 films.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving the example. We are doing 3 films with Vijay Antony. Mm-hmm. And when we heard the script from Nithilan, you know, we all said, this script we'll do first.
Mm-hmm.
We'll postpone the other script. We'll do this script. Because you know, Vijay Antony said, sir, this will be a sure shot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this film. Mm-hmm. And I told Nithilan, like, you know, let's do Nithilan. Somehow, you know, please, you know, sign up the agreement. Now, Nithilan had an agreement with Passion Studios already.
Okay.
And he had signed up. But they are not finalized the hero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, he only said, I'm okay with the script, but you know, you do it for me, but we'll decide later about the hero. But that went on for 6 months to 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So he was waiting there and he felt it, you know, Passion Studio is not proceeding with this. He came and narrated the story. We loved it. And immediately we confirmed we want to sign the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't sign the agreement without NOC coming from Passion Studios, right? So I went and met Sudhir. I told Sudhan that, you know, I need to meet you personally. We met in Adyar, somewhere we met him. I told him about this script. You know what he said? Sir, I will not let go of the script.
Okay.
So why I'm saying this case study is, like, you know, you should know, the project has to choose you.
So
you don't choose the script.
Yeah.
So okay. Now, I got upset. I told him, you know, Sudhan, come what may are, we don't want to miss the script.
Mm-hmm.
And Vijay Antony is very serious to do the film. You know, Sudhan threw this stone. In that case, let Vijay Antony do it for me, for my banner. I told him, why should I come and ask you for Vijay Antony doing to you? Vijay Antony wants to do the film to me because I picked up the script. Nithilan came and narrated the script. I loved it. So we went and pitched to Vijay Antony. He loved it. Within 3 days, we wanted to do the film.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, sir, I have not finalized it. I am looking for the script for Vijay Sethupathi. Okay. If Vijay Sethupathi says no, I will talk to Vijay Antony. You give the NOC for me to do with Vijay Antony.
Yeah. And then your film will be put on hold. Yeah.
I told him, like, you know, what is this? Like, you know, I am letting go a date of Vijay Antony, giving you this, you know, opportunity to, you know, because you are not started the film for 6 months to 8 months. He is waiting. Uh-huh. Nithilan was waiting for it. Right. So, but you are now telling me that, you know, I give, let go this whole dates and all Vijay Antony and all.
Yeah.
To the extent, finally, what I told him is, Passion Studios, Sudhan, I told, Arey Baba, let's join together. Let me do the film with Vijay Antony. You be 50% partner.
Yeah.
We discussed to that extent, that particular offer. He said, sir, let me consider all this if Vijay Sethupathi says no.
Oh.
It took 3-4 months for him to convince Vijay Sethupathi. And finally, Vijay Sethupathi said, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about this in 2021.
Okay.
Not now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now Vijay Sethupathi said, I'll do it. Then Nithilan came and told me, sorry, sir, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I met Vijay Sethupathi, sir, and he said, I'm doing the project.
Okay.
So now I can't do it. Vijay, and he was totally upset with me. Why did he bring the script to me? And, you know, it gave that
anticipation.
Hope, that I'm going to do that project, you know, 100% I'll do the project. Suddenly the project is not in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you come and give the lollipop to a kid and taking away it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Vijay Antony was very upset with me. And then I calmly kept telling Sudhan, Arey Baba, will it happen? Will it happen? You won't believe it. Shooting didn't start till 2022.
Okay.
I kept following up with Nithilan and Sudhan.
Okay.
Saying, Vijay Sethupathi was too busy. He was doing 6 films and, you know, he was busy in so many other films.
Mm-hmm.
Hindi, he was acting and then he was doing his own film. And all. I told him, listen, he's not going to give the date.
Mm-hmm.
So, unnecessarily, Nithilan is sitting idle. Let him do the project with Vijay Antony, who's ready to do the project anytime.
Okay.
Okay. And it's not about salary. It's not about making. It is not about budget. It's about
the script.
Script coming to us. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Nithilan coming to us. And finally, you know what happened? It's like I'm putting pressure. And then, you know, finally, Vijay Antony gave the dates. The film happened. And today everybody's celebrating saying that the film of the year and all now, today in the press show. Now, you'll feel more regret, you know, saying that, are yaar, we wanted the bat to the script, it didn't never happen to us. Why I'm giving the detailed case studies, a project is not something like you can choose.
Mm.
It has to choose you. It has to choose you means it has to be landing up in your office. In the script has to land up in your office. The script or the person has to come to your office. Okay? And that should come out in a smooth way with the right star cast, everything will happen.
But so, I'm more interested to learn, you know, what drove you, you know, what pushed you towards like, no, I want to do this film. What about that project? That's
many times, you know, it's not that way. Many times it's not that way. You know, you are among whatever the options you have, what is the best one you got? Because there are no ideal subjects. Then this is the best. See, every subject will have scope for improvement. You can keep on improving on it. There are directors who will accept your improvement. There are directors who will say, no, sir, I'll do it better in the making. You see, after the film is made, you know, you'll find it nice. See, very important thing is the script to screen experience. When you read a script, you as a creator will have a particular imagination about how the script will be coming out as a film. Many times, it will not be there. Finally, when the film is shot. I had gone through that experience multiple times. Where, you know, when I read the script, you know, that's why a lot of reviews when I read it, I used to read that, you know, the reviews will say, this may be probably one of the best scripts on paper, but finally on the screen, you know, it didn't translate into that particular thing. If you read the reviews and all, I read a lot of reviews coming in like this in Times of India and Indian Express and all. They'll say, as a script, it's very good. But in translation, it is lost. So I put it always like this, you know, as a producer, you can only take a call till the script. How it gets translated on the screen is nothing in your hand. The director, you know, may become lazy at the time. Director may be, you know, completely, he is overconfident about this making. He might think that, you know, at that time, what he wrote, he may not be doing it. He might say that, no, I don't need all this stuff. It's okay. I wrote in the script, but I don't need all this. Right now, I'll skip all this and I'll do something else. In the sense, like, he might do something different. Okay. Which you don't have, you have no control at all as a producer, right? You are thinking that he's following the script per se, you know, totally as per that. But finally, when you land up and see the final film, many times, you know, I'll tell you many, many times, recently also it happened. The script, you know, we all discuss on a film. I can't discuss about the script. You know, just shooting has just got completed. And what was there in the script, finally, when I saw it, I didn't see that happening. Okay. The magic. Okay. Now, I was sitting with the director and said, no, you didn't catch up all the stuff. Okay, you missed all the stuff. But he says, no, my friends are all saying it's great. So this is the problem will happen.
Okay.
So in cinema, you know, it's a very, very perspective business. Okay, you might be as a creator, you'll be always, you know, as a creator, you'll be thinking about it. Oh, no, this is not happening to me. This is not happening. Okay, I wanted this way, this script has to come. So all this, you know, uncertainties are there in filmmaking. So nobody makes script to screen exactly like that. They do it much better. They do it same way and they do it worst. So you may not get the script, what you read it, you may not get it on the screen. So a film success is based on the script to screen experience. A script is, I'll put it like this, 60 to 70% only. The 30% is what it gets converted. Okay, how it gets converted on the screen with beautiful performances, beautiful set work, and the creativity, and what kind of performance he picked up, and what kind of enhancements he did it while making, whether it's sound or dubbing or, you know, makeup or whatever it is. So now all this, you know, the 30% or 20%, that's what makes the film completely unique. That is not in your control.
Okay.
You don't even know. Okay. Because you read only the script. This is like, we'll put it to 60%. But that 60% converting into 100%, depending on that 30-40% great work is done by the director. If he done an average work, you're finished. Okay, you'll be saying, that's what I said, the reviews will say, as a script, it was very good, but then finally as a film, no, it didn't really impress me. It'll at best get 2.5-star, 3-star. They'll say, then it's okay. Okay, good script. But then we'll give this particular rating. But as a film, it didn't connect, or the film is not converted, you know, story into translation in a proper way on the screen. So I'm saying that every film, whenever you see success, is a fine conversion of script to script.
Okay.
There are directors who are very capable. They know how to convert a script on screen beautifully. They do it 200%. But a lot of directors, 90% directors, they only do lower than the script.
Yeah.
Okay, because somewhere they lost it. Somewhere they didn't get it. Maybe they will have their own reasons to achieve that. Because they might say that, no, I didn't get the production support. I didn't get the time. I was under pressure to complete the film in 30 days. So I had compromised, the word called compromise. I didn't get the actors' dates. I compromise on non-actors. There is no professional actors are there. Non-actors are there. Non-actors means they're not actors. They just picked up because it's cheaper. Now, they'll have all the reason to say why a film is not converted from script to screen. So this is the challenge of a producer. Okay. I will have my own constraint to reduce the budget. Okay. But I'll not expect my director to screw up because of that.
Yeah.
Okay. I might say that, you know, you have to complete the film in 40 days or 50 days. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you screw up the film and give it to me a trash. Right.
Yeah.
So a director has to make use of the constraint and do a great job.
Okay.
Because means, you know, he has to be working in the constraint and still do a great job. That is what, as a producer, I'll be expecting it. But many a time, directors will use this as an excuse. You didn't give me this artist. You didn't give me this date. You didn't give me this location. You didn't give me this number of days. I had to rush. So I couldn't deliver what you were expecting. This is how they will put it across to you. You don't know. Finally, the film comes in. You know, you are watching after a film is shot, edited, dubbed. It's called double positive. What can you do? You can at best do a little bit of reshoot. Okay. Or at best you can do re-edit. You can at best do add some more sound effect, some more BGM. Beyond that, you can't do anything with the film. What has been shot is shot. You can't recreate the whole scenes again, no? The set work or get the artist dates. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So cinema is a magic. I just want to make it clear. Most of the people, you see the final product. Okay. So you think that it is like clearly like these people don't know how to make a film. They made it rational. But believe me, just to tell you, Maharaja was seen by the distributor. Today, the overseas distributor was talking to me. He watched it 8 months back.
I saw Varun, right?
Varun. He said 8 months back, he saw this film. Now, tell me why 8 months, you know, Mr. Sudhan was waiting for? For what?
Right time.
So, it is like this. You know, all these people who are trolling me or tagging me and asking, why the hell you're not announcing release date? You should ask Sudhan, no, why you are ready with the great cinema in 8 months back in November? Why you didn't release in November? Why you didn't release in December? Why you didn't ask in January? Okay, so he was waiting for his dates. Maybe he had his own constraints. Maybe he was waiting for the satellite deal to happen. Maybe he was going through a lot of, you know, investors' relationship to sort out the issues to release a film. We don't know, right? Outsiders, we are all outsiders. It is Sudhan's responsibility, right? He will take care, right? So you have to give him the time. It is his decision when to release a film.
So
that's why I said, you know, please, you know, allow the producer to invest in crores or rupees. Let him decide. Yeah, don't decide from your side and bulldoze or push your date on me.
Okay. One last question. What is your tips for aspiring filmmakers who want to come into the industry?
Aspiring filmmakers and producers, all that I want to say is the most challenging period is now, currently in Indian cinema. Not just in Tamil cinema. Indian cinema itself is going through a lot of challenge. I would call upon everyone, look at cinema which has really been wonders. Okay, like today, if everybody's talking about Maharaja's cinema of the year or a Garudan, which is like unanimously appreciated by everybody, look at your film as a benchmark with this film. Why did these films work? I can tell you, a lot of people who come and approach me, when I ask them, you know, did you watch Garudan? No, sir, not it. So I say that, no, then what basis you're coming and asking me? Like, you know, no, sir, I was so busy. I was not well. These are all, from my point of view, it's excuses. You have to go and learn. You know, what did work with Garudan? Why Garudan is being celebrated by everybody? Why Avesham worked? Okay, Avesham is not a great script.
No.
Premalu is not a great script.
Yeah.
Okay, Aadajeevitham is very slow. Why did it work? Okay, unless you go and study in depth the online order. See, ideally, you know, we always tell in our film institute and all, we tell, when you watch a film, start writing online order. Put a online order of the film. Okay, you start rolling in your mind, put a online order. And you have to check each and everything, what worked. And then compare your script along with that. You don't want to do 10 films. This year, only two films you are talking about is greatly appreciated. If it is Garudan, and then, you know, comes in a Maharaja, in the entire 6 months, only two films are getting appreciated. You just take out the online order of these two films and check it out, why these films are worked and why so much of raving about these films are happening. Is my story anywhere close to it or not? If it is not close to it, you should not even pitch the script. That's what the tips I'll say. Here, you know how the people work? You know, I'll tell you a joke. It's a joke. There are two excuses they'll come and tell me. When I read a script and then I call them, I tell them like, what is this? It's a trash. Or this is not at all working. This is a lot of mistakes are there. And the first logic they'll say, sir, it's a first draft.
Okay.
I tell them like, why did you give me first draft then? Then they'll say, sir, if you give me more time, I'll fine-tune it and give you after 3-4 drafts, it'll be better. I said, then you should have come to me with the 4th draft or 5th draft. Now, you think that I'm jobless sitting here to read all your draft or what? It's a one opportunity I'll give you. And that opportunity, you are messing up. Right? You should not do this. I'm not talking about Dhananjayan. I'm talking about any producer. If you are assuming this is one first draft, if you're thinking that, you know, you have an excuse of this is a first draft, so I'm not in a position to give you the best. Go ahead and work, man. Work on your next draft, third draft, fourth draft, and ask your close, you know, excellent people who are in screenplay, ask them, you know, whether the screenplay is working. And then you come to the producer to pitch. What is the hurry to pitch a first draft? You come and give me an excuse. They come and give the excuse saying that it's a first draft, sir. That's why I didn't fine-tune the script. I need to do a lot of work. Give me one more opportunity. I'll correct it and come and give you. I said, namaskaram. I have no time. Every day I get one script. I can't go back to the same script and read it again. Then I'll be doing a service to you. Yeah. Why should I do the service to you? Am I indebted to you or what? Are you paying me money or what? Why should I read second time, third time your own same script? That's the one question you have to answer. No producer will read your script second time, third time. They have already lost hope in it. Second is, most of the people have this particular, you know, how they will say, if you don't like this script, if you say, sir, I have a second script, shall I pitch it? Then they'll say, I have 3 more scripts. So like, they're like a departmental store. That means what? Sir, I have this script also, I have that script also, I have this script also. I said, Baba, I'm not having any time. They'll say, how they'll come and tell me, sir, I got 2 scripts, can I give you 2 more scripts? So I said, I don't have time. You have to come in queue. In the sense, because I got more scripts lined up, maybe after 2 months you come. I'll tell them very clearly, come after 2 months. And then I'll read 1 more script. I can't keep reading your script because, you know, it's not my job. I'm not a paid employee for you. I'm a producer. My team is reading me. So they'll read multiple scripts of various people, not one guy's script. So the moment you say that, you know, I got 2 more scripts, that means, you know, this is not your best script, right?
You're basically
throwing scripts on the producers. You know, don't ever do that. My advice, no, I'll just say, be passionate about what you created.
Yeah.
Approach a producer only when you are very confident, I'm bringing out the best script. Yeah, Maharaja, this is like one Garudan. Sir, this script will be like Maharaja. This script will be like Garudan. Most spoken about script, I challenge you, you'll not give me less than 4 rating for the script. Like that, you should be deciding after watching Maharaja, watching Garudan and evaluating each and every element, why it worked in Garudan, why it worked in Maharaja, and my script is equal or better. And then you come and challenge the producer, sir, this script, if you read it, if you tell me it's lesser than Maharaja, I'll not even consider anymore. I'll not come to you at all. So obviously, I'll get the confidence. Right? Okay, this guy is too good.
He's very
clear about what he wants to do. Here, most people don't do the homework at all. They don't do the groundwork. They don't watch films properly. They don't go and check, you know, why this film worked. They only criticize. Okay, they all have the time to criticize other films. They all become critics. They don't become like, you have to be a film appreciator when you are becoming a director.
Yeah.
You want to become a director, you have to be a film appreciator. Good cinema, you have to appreciate. You have to pick up nuances. You know, you have to pick up what worked in that particular film. So my suggestion is like, you know, don't come with the 5 scripts in a day. Come with 1 script. Work on that 1 script. It's like, you know, I'll end with that particular saying, you know, Bruce Lee said that, it's for script also I want to say. Bruce Lee said that, don't learn 10,000 steps. Learn 1 kick. Don't learn 10,000 kicks. Learn 1 kick and perfect that particular kick. He said that, you know, you have to practice every day that kick in a manner that's a perfect kick. And no opponent can stand before you for that particular kick. He said that, don't learn 10,000 kicks. So like that, I'll say, don't learn, you know, 100 scripts. Don't learn 100 scripts. Learn 1. come out with one script, which is like a kick-ass script. Like Bruce Lee, you can definitely get that hit.
I would love to hear from our listeners. Tell me who you would like me to interview next or suggest filmy topics for my next episode. Write to me on Instagram and X, formerly Twitter, at IMMKR.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.